Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Please take the fellowship pad that you find on the center of the aisle and pass it down so that we can have a record of your attendance this morning. Just a couple of announcements this morning. Don't forget that the community Thanksgiving service will be tomorrow night, November 19th at 7 p.m. at Sacred Heart. And the presbytery meeting that we were gonna have on the 14th or 15th, whatever day it was, has been rescheduled for Thursday, November 29th. So if you had a role to play in that meeting and you can still play it, great. If you can't, please let Marie-Louise know. And if you couldn't before and you can now, please let Marie-Louise know and she can arrange for you to help. Let's prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Please join me in the responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God.
There is no one like the Lord, and no one beside me. There is no one like our God.
For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them God has set the world. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us worship God. Our hymn of praise is number 329, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Well, we're beginning a bright and shiny new week, and we're having communion this morning. So before we do the litany of assurance, I just want to offer you a time of short, brief time of silence to offer to God what's in your heart before we have the litany of assurance. Let's pray together. Amen. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God.
Jesus Christ, your life for you.
For by a single offering, he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified.
Jesus Christ, your life for you.
And the Holy Spirit adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin.
Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see everybody. Good morning. This morning, we are going to be singing a very special song. And Liam, do you know what the name of it is? I'm going to let you read it. How about that? For the Beauty of the Earth. And we're going to, the children are going to sing the first verse, and then the congregation is going to sing the fourth verse. So it's in the hymnal number 473, but I want to tell you a little story about this hymn first. When I was about your age, in the church I grew up in, we used to sing this in our children's choir, and it was one of my very, very favorite songs to sing, and I love singing it. We do it each year around Thanksgiving. We do it in the springtime. We do it all times, different times of the year. But I'm going to get Liam to read the first verse for us.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise our hymn of grateful praise.
Very nice reading. Thank you. All right, so what is that saying? It says, for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth. What does that mean? James.
It's talking about the earth, how beautiful it looks.
How beautiful the earth is, the glory of the skies, and we have Thanksgiving coming up, but this is something we could be thankful for always. Are we thankful for the beautiful earth that we have, the skies above, all that's around us? And then the fourth verse, for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all the gentle thoughts and mild. What's that talking about?
Friends, family, like cousins, everybody you know.
That's right. And is that something we should be thankful for too? All the people we love and care about, and some we know and some we may not know. Care about them in our hearts, whether they're here, friends on earth and friends above, right, up in heaven. So this is a very special song we sing today to share our thanksgiving for everything around us and the people that we care about and love, especially our church family. So we'll stand and sing the first verse, and then we'll get the congregation to join us on the fourth verse. All right, congregation.
That was nice. Let's pray together the unison prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. think we have good music here every day, but today is just really, it's really a good music day at First Presbyterian. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" Jesus replied. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." This is the word of the Lord.
I would echo what Joyce has said. We are truly blessed today with all of our musicians and all the leadership. And it is a wonderful Sunday when we can praise the Lord with bells, with singing, with all the wonderful piano and organ. It is a great blessing to be able to worship God in song. When I was looking at the service, there was a lot to do. So as I looked at the scripture passage, today you only get one joke, and it's a short one. A priest and a pastor from a local parish were standing by the side of the road holding up a sign that read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." They planned to hold up the sign to each passing car. "Leave us alone, you religious nuts," yelled the first driver as he sped by, and from around the curve, they heard the screeching tires and a big splash. "Do you think," said one of the clergy to the other, "we should just put up a sign that says 'Bridge out' instead?" Church humor helps us to weather our ups and downs before being on the receiving end of many of the public comments that often are thrown religion's way. Some of them are kind, others are not so kind. Some of them are kind of odd, but when it comes to chapter 13 of Mark's gospel, I realize that the signs of the end times that Jesus speaks of are not the signs of the end times that we like to joke about, that cause us to laugh. The times that Jesus is speaking of arrest us and cause us to question our expectations and with all the events that are rolling around us. Jesus tells his disciples, who marvel at the beautiful, imposing temple, which, by the way, he's been railing against for much of his ministry, that even an institution, even a building that is big and established and powerful as that one will not stand forever. All will be thrown down. All. What does Jesus include in all? The temple, yes, but everything else too? Governments, palaces, military forts, impressive corporate headquarters, historical landmarks will all be thrown down? Why? When? How? To what end? What remains? What comes next? Like the disciples who pulled Jesus aside in Mark's gospel, we too have a lot of questions about the predicted end times. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Jesus, when will all this be? How will we know this is accomplished? Jesus then begins his sermon with a warning. Don't go astray. Don't believe messianic impersonators. Jesus knew that down through the ages, many of his disciples would have the ability to pervert his teachings and misunderstand his ideas, even to the extreme of teaching that which is antithetical to the gospel. Don't be led astray, he tells them. Then he goes right to the scary stuff. He goes right to the apocalyptic. He calmly lays out the certain upheaval that is to come. Wars, civil wars, natural disasters, famine. But don't be alarmed, he tells them. Wars, civil wars, natural disasters, famine. Look around. Look around the world. You see it all. One can read the headlines and spin the globe on any given day and see Jesus' signs of the end times emblazoned in print or pixels. You can't help but be alarmed. Even if these are the birth pangs of a new life, of a new era, of a new God thing on the horizon, it is scary as all get out. Now, I have no idea if these are signs of the end times, but they certainly fit the description in chapter 13. But then again, we are Christians. We have been waiting a long time. We've been in labor for millennia with no pain relief in sight. All has not been thrown down. The world order of the rich getting richer and the poor getting trampled remains. Have you seen the bumper sticker that says, if you aren't outraged, you aren't paying attention? How, Jesus, can we not be alarmed? The recent climate report that detailed how we are about to fall off a global warming cliff alarms me. People burning up in cars while fleeing horrific fires alarms me. Entire towns wiped out by once in a 500-year hurricane that seemed to be coming every 2 or 3 years alarms me. Reading stories of people risking their lives, leaving all they have, walking to our border in order to escape poverty and violence and terror in their own home alarms me. Another mass shooting and another, regardless of what their motives are, distress me to no end. I am nothing but alarmed right now. And this promise of a birth somewhere in sometime future does not assuage my ever-growing anxiety. It causes me to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, how can you tell we, your followers, to not be alarmed? It makes me wonder. Is it faithful enough to not be utterly paralyzed by our alarm? If we cannot keep calm and carry on, is it acceptable in your sight, Jesus, to gird our loins and enter the chaos in your name? Can we be alarmed, scared as heck, and persevere, using our provocation to provoke others to love and good deeds? Would that be an adequate and faithful response to all that alarms us? That we might be able to do with courage and grace that you provide us all of these? Where do we find that peace and that grace and that love that allows us to move forward and face our fears? We need to stop in the temple while it is still here and pray like a drunkard alongside Hannah as she prayed for a son. We need to beg for new life, for hope, for relief. We need a reassuring word from Jesus, yes, but also from our sisters and brothers in faith, from our fellow believers, with more perspective and a little more confidence than we might have. We shouldn't care how foolish or crazed or uncollected we might appear. We come in here each Sunday, and maybe we feel foolish. Maybe we are crazed. Maybe we are uncollected. Maybe we need to pour out our heart to God for a while, to lament those crushed by poverty, drowned by floods, left to die in fires and in deserts, dance floors, war zones, schools. We need time to cry out so that the Lord can hear. We need to talk in private and in public because we have some questions about the end times and about our times. We'd like a few answers, please, Jesus. We are people who are deeply troubled, and we are not alone in that sentiment right now. But we need not be alone in our fear. We need not only to pray to God and to hear from a caring, competent religious leader, we need the other members of the household of God too. Could we meet together and talk about these things? Can we comfort one another and cry together and hear some signs of hope while we are at it? Could we help each other hold fast to what is good and render no evil for evil? Could we spur each other to love and good deeds? I do not know what time it is. What I do know is this. Many are perishing. Wars rage for generations. God's good people and God's good creation are in peril all over the world. I am alarmed. But Jesus assures us of his presence, of his power, of his will to reconcile and redeem and save and make whole. Jesus has given himself and has given us one another. That is why we celebrate at the table today. Whatever time it is, we are not at the end. That means we have hope. That means we need to meet together. We need to dine together. That means we need to pray together. That means we need to provoke one another to love and good deeds. That means we are to stay with the pain and the hurt. We are to stay with the pain, breathe, hold fast to the one who gives us a son who never turns away from the hurt of the world. That means we relentlessly work for peace, no matter how persistent the violence. We help those in the middle of disasters, natural or otherwise. We feed the hungry. We care for the sick, knowing that we want to be found whenever Jesus returns and whenever our end or the end is. We want to be found faithful. Amen. In moving things around, we to fit everything in, we made a few errors in the bulletin. The hymn that we were supposed to sing now will be sung, which is 467, How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing where it says the hymn of commitment. And the hymn of commitment, number 554, Let All Things Now Living, we'll sing as our benediction response. So now that you're totally confused, let's move to celebrate Holy Communion. This is the feast set before us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where we find that peace, where we find that hope. And so we join together and we invite all those who trust in Jesus to join with us in this holy communion. Let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You fashioned the world in love and governed the earth with grace and peace. Nations and monarchs rise and fall, but your reign is for all time and your mercy is without end. In love you made us to love and serve you. When we turn from you and bend our knee to the gods of our own making, you speak through the prophets to bring us back to your ways. You gave us a vision of your holy kingdom that we might hunger after righteousness and thirst for justice and long for the day when peace will triumph over the pride and greed of nations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with all the faithful of every time and every place who feast at the table of your grace, forever singing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty. And blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born as king in David's line, he lived with the lowly and cared for the last of your children. His power was revealed in weakness, his majesty in mercy. His captors knelt to mock him, giving him bruises instead of praise and piercing thorns for a crown. His only earthly throne was a cross on which to die. Even there, his arms stretched out to embrace friends and foes in love. From the grave, you raise him to your right hand, where he rules again from heaven and commands true loyalty from people and nations. Lord God, we lift up to you prayers for those who cannot be with us at this table, for friends, for family, for loved ones. We ask that you would be with Amy and Lisa, Charles and Lib, Matthew, Diane, James, both senior and junior, Diane, Martha Jo, Gail, Beth and Bill. Hear our prayers for Jane, for Ellen, for Lee, for Dana, for Friel, for Ella and Sandra. Hear our prayers for Jim, for Wilhelm, for Tom. We continue to ask your blessings and give you thanks that you've been at work within Joe, within Claudine, Ben, and Helen. Continue to be with Jay and Nolte. Be with all of our service personnel, especially those serving overseas. They go to places that we've never seen and protect our freedoms. Be with them, keep them safe, especially over this holiday week. Be with those who have been affected by the fires in Northern California and help them to know of your love amidst the horrible disaster, the loss of loved ones. Ask that you would be with and strengthen those who have lost family members this week, the family and friends of Melinda Scott, the family and friends of Stephen Collins, and many others. for which the holiday season is difficult as they mourn the loss of loved ones. Lord, hear our prayers and continue to be with us as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this bread, or eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our risen Lord until he comes again. Once again, I invite all those who trust in Jesus to come and dine. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place, and this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. Lead us, O God, to conform this world to your kingdom of love, justice, and peace. Help us to live as the Lord requires, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with you. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of the eternal realm. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, and with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Will the ushers please come forward from the morning offering? Let us pray. Ancient of Days, who sits enthroned in glory, to you all knees are bent, all voices pray. Your love has blessed the wide world's wondrous story with light and life since Eden's dawning day. We come before you, O God, beholding your glory, and offer you gifts in praise of your name. May your light so shine that all creation discerns your dominion, and may whatever we do bring you honor and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now remember, we're doing hymn number 467 this time, How Great Thou Art.